Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Welcome on this lovely cloudy Sunday morning. Alhamdulillah, with myself, Muhammad Lambat, on Radio Islam Medium Wave 1548, and on audio streaming as well on the Globetrotting program, Alhamdulillah, where we talk travel and we try to cover up as much as we can on travel, Alhamdulillah. Now, this week has been a very, very interesting week politically, and also generally it's been a very interesting week, especially with the rand dollar. We got to look at the rand dollar constantly, because of when it comes to tourism, we got to really look at that, because it makes a very, very big difference when it comes to ticketing and so on. So it's important that we keep an eye on that. And this week has just been like a yo-yo with currency. It made a difference. So we just got to be very, very, very wary when it comes to booking. There are quite a few people also who started their bookings already, but it's just so unpredictable as to what rates to book, where to book, how to book. And we just try our best and see and make dua to the Almighty Allah, Allah make it easy for us when it comes to booking, and let the best just happen, inshallah. So we pray for that, inshallah, that must just happen like that. There are many people already planning their bookings, planning their trips. There are many that are asking. In fact, many had asked me regarding Vietnam, an itinerary for Vietnam, which we, you know, it's just that depending on your times that you have, there's quite a few that have asked me. I think in this past week I must have had 9 people that asked me about Vietnam, to give them an itinerary to go into Vietnam. Now, it just depends which airline you're taking. If you do intend asking me for an itinerary which I can assist you with, depends which airline you're taking. If you are taking Cathay Pacific, it's perfect, because Cathay flies into Hanoi and you can fly out of Saigon. That will help. But if you're doing Emirates or you're doing Qatar, I think they fly into Saigon only and you can fly out from Saigon again. So you've got to come back to Saigon if you're going up to Hanoi. So it makes a difference. With that country being an elongated S, makes a very big difference from where you fly in and where you fly out from. It's just two different cities that you fly in and fly out from. So, well, we got to just look at that. So, but that, we're covering up for many of our listeners regarding that also. That's not a problem, inshallah. But more than that, we're looking at other destinations. I'm looking at the East and the Middle East, and we're looking at South America also. And inshallah, let us see. We intend covering South America intensively. I've contacted all the embassies already. Let us see which embassies we can talk to regarding South America, because it makes good holiday destinations also because of what South America offers us. So let us look into that, inshallah. We'll follow that up. Alhamdulillah, this week has been quite a good week also for us. We managed to secure 2 embassies already for discussion, so we're just busy with them finalizing paperwork and so on. So we should be within the next 2-3 weeks ready with 2 embassies already, and we're going to follow up from there, inshallah. Now, today we're only going up till 10 o'clock simply because there is a panel discussion. It's an official panel discussion which I think all the radio stations are feeding into as well, and it's going to be something very, very important. So we're running up to 10 o'clock, and thereafter we'll continue next week with whatever we're discussing. But other than that, also another very important thing, we have the Ijtima coming up. Please try and make efforts of going to the Ijtima. Just to be present there makes a difference. Go there, just be there, listen to 1 or 2 bayans. Let us just get some change or we learn something. If we just learn just one thing over that weekend and we implement it in our lives, something to do with deen, and that's what the aim is, and inshallah, Allah will make it easy for us all. So, also the preparations for the Ijtima, please, if there's anybody that would like to assist with that also, please go forward, assist with that. Let us make it a successful event. Let us make it a successful weekend with spirituality, and also, let us see if we can learn and teach whatever we can, inshallah. And let us see if we can contribute towards it also. Now make it easy for one and all, inshallah. Now, briefly, today we're just going to talk, like I said, just up until 10 o'clock. So I'm going to talk about Bali. Now, Bali is an island and province of Indonesia. The province includes the island of Bali and a few smaller neighboring islands, notably Nusa Penida, Nusa Lembongan, Nusa Seningan. It is located at the westernmost end of Lesser Sunda Islands, between Java to the west and Lombok to the east. Its capital of Denpasar is located at the southern part of the island. With a population of about 4.3 million people as of the last census that took place, the island is home to most of Indonesia's Hindu minority. According to the 2010 census, 83.5% of Bali's population adhere to Balinese Hinduism, and 13.4% Islam, 2.5% Christianity, and 0.5% Buddhism. Bali is a popular tourist destination. Now, if you listen to many, many people who say they're going to Indonesia, Bali is on that bucket list of theirs, that's for sure. Even if you have tours that's going to Indonesia, you'll have on the tours, definitely Bali is offered on there. And it is renowned for its highly developed arts, including traditional and modern sculpture, painting, leather, metalworking. It's got lots and lots to offer. The Indonesian International Festival is held every year in Bali. Since the 20th century, the province has had a rise in tourism. And many people are looking towards Bali because of the cost factor, because of weather also. So it's important that we look at those things when you're doing any holiday destination. And Bali is part of the Coral Triangle, the area with the highest biodiversity of marine species. Now, for any scuba diver, snorkeler, water fanatic, that's the place to go to. If you look at many people going for holidays, many people that talk to me as well ask me, when they're going for a holiday, and you have the sport fanatics, you have them going there, and that's the first question they will ask you, what's it like when it comes to water sports? Now, there are all these different places, these different countries that offer you fantastic water sports. Many, many, especially in the East, you'll find water sports is something which they thrive on, and they work towards improving water sports all the time. And you'll find that the whole of the East, they have all these parasailings, they have the jet skis, they have scuba, they have snorkeling, they have tours on a daily basis, hourly basis, going into the ocean. And that improves tourism on a very, very big scale. And many countries do that, and Bali is no different. Bali does that because of what's offered in Bali. As I said, it's the highest biodiversity of marine species. In this area alone, over 500 reef building coral species can be found. Now, if you're a scuba diver, if you've been for snorkeling and scuba diving, you'll find that coral is very scarce in lots of parts of scuba diving world. What happens is when it comes to corals are treated so with kid's glove, I would say, because a coral to grow, probably it will grow about 2 millimeter or 1 millimeter per annum, sometimes even less than that. It grows very, very slow. So to take care and look after corals, that is why when as scuba divers you go underwater, the dive master will tell you, do not touch corals. Because if you damage one piece of coral, it takes it years upon years to grow back again. And also, depending on the type of waters and what happens underwater sometimes, for example, we've had the tsunamis and so on, it really damages corals, like we have here in Comores, on the shores of Comores, where you have chemicals and you have the volcanoes which erupted many years ago and went into the ocean, damaged the corals. And when you go down for scuba diving, you'll physically see the damaged corals. You'll see dead corals. We may just look at it as rocks, we may look at it as just inanimate objects in the ocean, but believe me, corals have life, and they grow, and they are just so beautiful. And you get on corals, you'll have all these small little plants that grow also. It is amazing, and what Qudrat of Allah, what beauty there is there. It's just amazing to see all those things. We make shukr to the Almighty Allah for giving us such beauty, especially when you do these scubas and you go down underwater. It's beautiful and amazing. For comparison, this is about 7 times as many as the entire Caribbean. Now, Caribbean is well known for corals, but in Bali, the reef that you have there is 7 times as many as that of the entire Caribbean. There's a wide range of dive sites with high quality reefs, all with their own specific attractions. Many sites can have strong currents and swells, so diving without a knowledgeable guide is inadvisable. You need somebody experienced. And for scuba divers that will go, you will clearly note that when you're going underwater, you'll find that sometimes that you will just, without moving, without doing anything, you'll just find yourself moving 5-10 meters per minute with the flow of the current underwater. And you just have to just relax underwater and you just flow away in whichever direction. And it's important that you have your guide that knows those things. And you must make sure that you know where you are, where your boat has stopped, for you to go get back again. Obviously, they do have those ropes and they have the ball which is on the surface of the water. So there is control of those things. That's when you're with a dive master. And it's important that you adhere to the instructions of dive masters when you do that. Now, especially here in Bali, you'll find that there's lots of strong currents and the swells which can take you away. Bali was inhabited around 2000 BC by Austronesian people who migrated originally from Southeast Asia and Oceania through maritime Southeast Asia. Culturally and linguistically, the Balinese people are closely related to the people of the Indonesian archipelago, Malaysia, the Philippines, and Oceania. That is why if you see the people of Bali, you see the people of Indonesia, they've got very much, the features are very much Malaysian, Filipinos. You'll see they all look, they've got that little Chinese features in them also. And stone tools dating from that time have been found near villages of Jekik in the island's west. In ancient Bali, 9 Hindu sects existed. Each sect revered a specific deity as its personal godhead. And that was their belief, and obviously that is how, when it comes to Hinduism, that's what they believe. And Balinese culture was strongly influenced by Indian, Chinese, and particularly Hindu culture, beginning around the 1st century AD. The name Bali Dwipa, which means the Bali Island, has been discovered from various inscriptions. The island of Bali lies about 3.2 kilometers east of Java and is approximately 8 degrees south of the equator. That is why you'll get great weather and you'll get tropical weather there, because it's just 8 degrees south of the equator. Bali and Java are separated by the Bali Strait east to west. The island is approximately 153 kilometers wide and spans only about 112 kilometers north to south. Administratively, it covers 5,780 square kilometers, and that's without Nusa Penida district. Its population density is roughly about 750 people per square kilometer. Bali's central mountains include several peaks over 3,000 meters in elevation, so you do have mountain climbing also, which can be done there. The highest is Mount Agung, which is 3,031 meters above sea level, known as the Mother Mountain, which is also an active volcano. The mountains range from center to the eastern side, with Mount Agung the easternmost peak. Bali's volcanic nature has contributed to its exceptional fertility, and its tall mountain ranges provide high rainfall, and that supports the highly productive agriculture sector. That is why when you go to Bali, you'll find forestry, especially in the center, you'll find lots of jungle trees, you'll find all those things. And what you'll find a lot also of is that you have elephant rides in those jungles, you have all those things. So that is just beautiful, and that is all nature, alhamdulillah. The island is surrounded by coral reefs right around. The beaches in the south tend to have white sand, while those in the northwest have black sand. So it's the diversity of the beaches also that you have there. And remember, because you are so close to the equator, you have warm waters. And being just 8 degrees south of the equator, it's a fairly, fairly, fairly even climate all year round. When it comes to tropical climate, we know that it's even climate. You don't have where you have your winters, extreme cold and extreme heat. Time temperatures at low elevations vary between 20 to 33 degrees Celsius. Although it can be much cooler than that in the mountain areas, and the west monsoon is in place from approximately October to April, and this can bring significant rain, particularly from December to March. outside of the monsoon period, humidity is relatively low and any rain unlikely in lowland areas. That is why the best time, whenever to go to these eastern countries, try to avoid the monsoon, because it's not that bad though, but what happens is you'll have a lot of rain, probably for about 15 minutes, it will just bucket down. Next best thing, the sun is out and everything is just clear up and you carry on again. Life is so normal. Oh, you'll find that in Malaysia also, where you go into a shopping center and you'll find that before you enter the shopping center, it's bright outside. When you come out, it is storming again. So likewise, that whole Eastern Bloc is like that. The tourism industry is primarily focused in the south, while significant in other parts of the island as well. The main tourist locations are the town of Kuta, with its beach, and its outer suburbs of Legian and Seminyak, which were once independent townships. The east coast town of Senur, once the only tourist hub in the center of the island Ubud, to the south of the Ngura of Senur, and you get the Rai International Airport, which is there, and the Jimbaran, and the new development of Nusa Dua and Pekatu. Bali's tourism economy survived the bombings of 2002 and 2005. Obviously, this was it's very controversial, but they had those tourist bombings and so on. And the tourism industry has, in fact, slowly recovered and surpassed its pre-terrorist bombing levels. And the long-term trend has been a steady increase of visitor arrivals in 2010. Bali received 2.57 million foreign tourists, which surpassed the target of 2 to 2.3 million tourists. The average occupancy of starred hotels achieved 65% rating, which is excellent. To get an occupancy of 65% in any hotel is great. And so the island is still able to accommodate tourists for some years without any addition of new hotels and more rooms again. Although at peak season, some of them are fully booked. And then Bali received the Best Island Award from Travel and Leisure in about 2010. The island of Bali won because of its attractive surroundings, both mountain and coastal. And you have white beaches and black beaches. So because of the diversity, they have received excellent tourism ratings. This is what any country in the world looks for, is the tourism ratings. And by improving on tourism, obviously you're improving on many, many other aspects of for the improvement of the currency. And then you have also the excellent restaurants, the international and local restaurants, and the friendliness of the local people. All that, the diverse tourist attractions, all that was contributing factors. According to the BBC Travel released in 2011, Bali is one of the world's best islands, ranked in second after Santorini, which is in Greece, which is known as the best island. And then you have the language, the Balinese and the Indonesians, the Indonesian and Balinese language are the most widely spoken languages in Bali. And the vast majority of the Balinese people are bilingual or trilingual. The most common spoken language around the tourist areas is Indonesian, as many people in the tourist sector are not solely Balinese, but migrants from Java, Lombok, Sumatra, and other parts of Indonesia. There are several indigenous Balinese languages, but most Balinese can also use the most widely spoken option, modern common Balinese language, which is, it's like you have Mandarin in Chinese. You have Mandarin, which is widely spoken, and then you have over 30 or 40 different dialects, if not more, of the Chinese language, which some people from different areas do not understand what the others are saying when it comes to them talking the Chinese language. So that is why Mandarin is very common. And then you have also the usage of different Balinese languages was traditionally determined by the Balinese caste system and by the clan membership. But this tradition is determined and it's also starting to diminish now. The Kawi and the Sanskrit are also commonly used by some Hindu priests in Bali, for Hinduism literature was mostly written in Sanskrit, which has also extended to Cambodia and Vietnam, and they used Sanskrit at the time there. English and Chinese are the next common languages and the primary foreign languages of many Balinese, owing to the requirements of the tourism industry. And then you have English, which is commonly spoken, which is an international language which they have to have. And then which is very common in lots of other languages such as Japanese, Korean, French, Russian. German is also used as multilingual science of foreign tourists, because you have all those tourists that are coming into Bali. And that is why they learn all these languages. And you'll find that some of them specialize in certain languages. And by them specializing in those languages, we have groups from that particular country where they speak that language. Those people come specifically for tourism to Bali because they have their own language spoken by the people of Bali. And that's what promotes tourism also. We're already on news time and we're going into the panel discussion, so we're already out of time. Inshallah, we will continue with something with Indonesia. We'll probably look at Indonesia and more about Bali also, inshallah, next week. But for myself, Muhammad Lambat, until next week, same place, same time. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.